transmission begins.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Josh Tolley Show on the GCN Radio Network.
Second hour, Josh Tolley Show, GCN Radio Network. If you want to be part of it, it's super simple. And now I'm connected to my phone server, so we're all good. 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, Clout, and whatever other social sites are out there, I guess. And also the website, joshtolley.com, joshtolley.com. Where, of course, you can get the SlenderX products and join me, 16 pounds and counting. What are you at? Well, if you didn't join me yet, you are exactly where you were where I was 16 pounds ago. So join us today. I kind of had to end that last subject quickly since we were up against the end of the hour, but it's a very interesting one, and I'm glad AG brought it up. You know, this idea that there's this feeling of... is this the end? Could this be the end? I don't know. I mean, one, I always say, you know, it's not something that you should be afraid of, especially if you have a faith that is solid. So the wrong form of fear would be used, I think, too often by people. But I also think that we can't ignore what we're looking at here. We really, truly can't. And I understand that previous generations thought, you know, well, this could be the end and that could be the end, but they haven't thought so at such large numbers as they do today. And maybe that's part of media programming. You know, maybe we all see the news so much that we feel like the world is falling apart and the sky is falling. You know, 100 years ago, you would have only known what made it into your local paper, which wasn't much. Now... right now, I'm monitoring news as I'm sitting here. I'm monitoring live news out of the UK, out of Israel from J Post, out of Hong Kong, out of Japan, out of Australia, out of Brazil. All right now, while I'm talking to you. So yeah, I mean there is a sense of, you know, doom and gloom because you're just exposed to more of it. But I don't think that answers all of it. I really don't. I think to a certain extent we are facing something that we haven't seen before. And the chess pieces are moving in position to create that that conflict of biblical proportions. So just be careful. Just be careful what is what I say to you. Now, the BBC is reporting that the U.S. and the U.K. have cracked online encryption. I'm so sick and tired of the lack of privacy that we just need to expect in today's life. Oh, your banking records? Nah, we crack those. How about the medical records and emails? Oh, man, easy breezy, no problem there at all. Just makes you feel so confident. But you know what it really should do? And I'm serious about that. This should reestablish the need to change how we view successful society. Honestly, what does it mean to you to be part of a successful society? What does it mean to you to develop a culture? And I have a couple announcements that I'm going to make, maybe in today's show, maybe early next week. But we've been talking for a while about, you know, everything starts with culture. Culture creates candidates. Candidates never create culture. How do we change the culture? Josh, yeah, you know, we get it. The info is out there, but this is obviously beyond just info. We need to do more than info. We need to actually do something. What do we do? And I'm on the verge of announcing a publishing deal. And part of that deal would put into play a program that addresses that. And it has a really cool name, and I don't want to get it out there yet, but... it would actually be a plan on paper, not just, this works good in theory, but how do we actually do this? Here are the step-by-step things that you could do in your neighborhood to create that culture. And I'm really excited about it. And I kind of want to talk about it now, but I know I can't. So it's kind of like a kid at Christmas, you know, trying to open the present and shaking it. And, no, you have to wait. So I guess if I have to wait, y'all have to wait too. But we are going to work on that because that's really where the fight is. It really is. And, you know, that call from Lauren kind of solidifies that in a way. I mean, we're no longer at that point where we can expect privacy. It's not going to happen. We can pass all the anti-drone laws we want to in our county board. We can, you know, go the way of Colorado and say, hey, we're going to issue drone hunting permits, but it's not going to go away. The spy satellites, the drones, the internet surveillance, it's never going to go away. So now what? How do you develop that culture in a system where you, in a sense, are always captive? I mean, you can't even leave this country and come back at your own free will. You have to get an approved piece of paper from the people who are the ones deciding if you'll be allowed back in. I mean, the entire premise is just crazy. A squirrel in Canada can walk over to the United States, walk back, and nothing happens. He's a wild animal, and you couldn't do the same thing. And I understand, you know, border security. We talk about that. But I mean, just from a humanity standpoint, step back a little bit and say, holy cow, I don't have the freedom of a squirrel. You are captive. Now, what are you going to do? Even in captivity, cultures can thrive. The Jewish culture, the Hebrew culture, for example, they've thrived under captivity. The church in China, the underground church in China, is actually growing, and those are some of the most passionate, convicted believers the world has ever seen. So they're growing and thriving in captivity. And I think what's happened in America is we have based the sole definition of our success as a people on the success of the government. Well, the government's not adhering to the Constitution, so I can't be a successful culture. What? Or we have a crazy president who's invading our privacy, so I can't have a successful culture. Why? The two are not related. And, you know, when Lauren was talking about the Constitution and, you know, this is what the sheriff's job and duty is, and all of that is actually just pretend. It's just pretend. A group of men decided to come together and say, hey, you know what? We want to establish this idea of freedom. We want to establish the idea of a nation. Let's go sell it to the churches and town halls, which were also churches, around the colonies and start pitching the idea that we should be free. Now, was there any international or intergalactic or whatever courts that they could go to and have this recognized? No. It was just an idea. They formed a club, as Lauren suggested. But today we teach it as if it's something real, as if it's something tangible. And it's not. The United States is not the Capitol. The United States is not the White House. The United States is a collection of individuals who share the same idea. I mean, think about how radical that really truly is. There's no lines on the earth. Go up to outer space, look down. Where's the Mexican-American border? It doesn't exist. It's an idea. It is a thought. It is a spoken word that created a reality. And there's a lot of depth in that, but we'll let it go today. But these founding fathers spoke America into existence. So to just operate under the assumption that it's always going to be the same, that it's always going to be true, that it's always going to be just, that's an irrational thought. But so too is it irrational to think that their oppression, their tyranny, impacts your ability to create your home, your neighborhood, your culture the way you want it. The two are not related. All right, we'll be back right after this.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance, please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Nobody likes crony capitalism. Most of us don't even fully understand what it is and how it affects our daily life. But we all have this sense of, you know what, the average person doesn't have the opportunity to compete, to play in the system. The system is controlled by just a select few, and they just seem to rewrite the rule book to their advantage. And, I'm encouraged by the number of experts in the industry who are coming out against things like this, and we have one such expert with us today. His name is Hunter Lewis. He's the former CEO of investment firm Cambridge Associates and the co-founder of AgainstCronyCapitalism.org, and he has a book, Crony Capitalism in America, How a System of Pay-for-Play Politics Has Taken Over the Country and What We Can Do About It. Welcome to the show, Hunter. How are you doing?
It's nice to be with you.
It's great to have you here. So kind of let's start with the definition. I mean, what are we looking at in America when it comes to crony capitalism? Are we talking about the local hardware store who's hiring his sister-in-law's nephew in order to give him a summer job, or is this something much more severe than that?
This is much bigger than that. Crony capitalism is when the big government aligns itself with big business, big finance, big labor, big law, and they all work out deals that favor themselves at the expense of the public, the middle class, and the poor. And I don't need to tell you that the average American today is doing very badly. The median income of Americans is just steadily falling. It fell during the crash, and then since the end of that recession, has fallen even more. So, and the reason is that an economy to be successful needs to be an honest economy. It needs to be one where we can all come together and work together and cooperate and be honest and trust each other. And we're losing that.
Well, the president doesn't seem to agree with us, Hunter. This morning, as he was exiting the G20, he was talking about how the economy has recovered. We're now seeing daylight and a new day is upon us. Yet, statistically, we are experiencing record lows in terms of workforce productivity, median income. So who's telling the truth? I mean, are the numbers lying to us, or are politicians just kind of padding it a little bit?
Both. I mean, for example, you know, the government just changed the way that they measure gross domestic product. One of the things they changed was they said from now on, whenever money is owed to a pension fund, we'll count it as being paid to a pension fund. And we know that one of the big problems we face in this country is pension funds that aren't funded, you know, especially in government. The inflation numbers are not really accurate. If they were calculated the way they were back in the Reagan administration, it would be significantly higher. So, you know, you have that problem. But it's not just the Obama administration. I mean, we had crony capitalism under Bush. We've had it even more under Obama. And I could give you a lot of examples.
Well, give us some of those examples, because I think sometimes people who don't realize that this is a left and right thing, I think sometimes people think, oh, this is one of those, you know, cigar-smoking, custom suit-wearing Republican issues, and liberal progressives don't do things like this. And I don't side with either party, but that's simply not the case, is it?
Well, and for example, at the beginning of this year, we had the fiscal cliff legislation in which the president raised taxes on the wealthier people. And as he signed that, he said, we need more reform like this. We need more tax increases on the wealthy and on corporations. But what he didn't mention was that he'd slipped a provision into that bill reducing taxes for his favorite corporations, the ones that are giving him a lot of campaign contributions, you know, General Electric, the film industry, and various friends of his like that. And the tax reductions on those corporations more than offset any increase in taxes from the wealthy. And, of course, if he had thought that people were going to be aware of that, that the media was going to cover it, he wouldn't have dared to do that. But he felt perfectly free to do that, to be completely hypocritical.
And that hypocrisy continues in terms of regulation, which, of course, impacts the bottom line of these countries. You know, there have been a lot of trade deals with little asterisks where now you can ship your product into the United States without having to adhere to U.S. regulation, even if you are a U.S. company who's manufacturing it someplace else. So it's really henpicking who you want to succeed in capitalism.
And that's right. And that's exactly what crony capitalism is. And it's just destroying the economy, because you cannot have, you know, you must have an honest economy in which people can really trust each other. The way you're supposed to get rich by doing a better job for the consumer. You're supposed to offer a better product or a cheaper product. And today you get rich by having connections with government or getting a piece of the money that the Federal Reserve is printing.
And regulating your competition out of the marketplace, like needing $1 million to own a cab in New York City. Well, then obviously only the companies that are sitting on a few million dollars can compete, and it keeps people from being able to take advantage of the system we were founded upon.
Yes, and regulating your competition out of business is one of the favorite techniques right now. And that's happening on the federal level, that's happening on the state level. There's so many examples of it. I mean, for example, the dietitians, they go from state to state trying to get bills passed, not allowing anybody to offer advice to the public about diet unless they're dietitians. You know, they just create a legislative monopoly.
That's to me, that's deplorable. And I think part of the problem, too, is we're starting to redefine what words are. And I'll give you an example. During the Occupy Wall Street fiasco, you know, that big push, I completely understood the pain that people were suffering. Same is true on the Tea Party side. I understand the pain. But the definitions that they were using were kind of misplaced. I mean, there were people holding signs that says, you know, down with capitalism, capitalism killed America. And I'm starting to think, wait a second, that's actually the solution that you need. And you're confusing a form of fascism with capitalism. Isn't there a large danger in getting these definitions incorrect?
And absolutely. And of course, a lot of politicians define words, you know, in a reverse way on purpose because they're trying to confuse people. But certainly with the Wall Street, you know, one of the greatest examples of that was a big sign that, you know, said the New York Fed was the citadel of capitalism. Of course, the New York Fed is part of the federal government, and it has little or nothing to do with capitalism. It's the way the government is increasingly controlling the economy, not an example of capitalism.
Well, even when you look at what the Fed really is, as truly a private corporation that only has one customer, which is the government, you have this limitation of the value of the currency, where now they've created this paradigm where wealth for the nation is only created at the debt of the people in that nation.
And people don't realize that the Federal Reserve is the main reason that we've had these bubbles and crashes, the dot-com bubble and then the housing bubble. The Federal Reserve keeps printing, you know, way too much money, and that leads to speculation and bubbles, and then it all crashes. And when we had the last crash in 2008, of course, it seemed that Washington was bailing out Wall Street. But really, you know, Washington was sort of sending money in a conveyor belt to Wall Street, and then Wall Street was in turn buying government bonds. So government was bailing out itself. And the Federal Reserve owns more U.S. bonds than anybody else right now.
It's just absolutely crazy. All right, Hunter, we need to take a break, but I want to get back and talk about the solutions to this problem, because we all know that there's a problem. And we'll talk about that with Hunter Lewis right after this. Don't go anywhere. Want to be the smartest person you know? Then keep listening. This is the Josh Tully Show on GCN Radio Network.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. With a Marxist socialist sitting in the White House, has signed a law that would allow indefinite detentions of American citizens. Has there ever been other countries to do so? The answer is yes. Hitler's socialist Germany, Stalin's Russia, China, North Korea, Myanmar, and Cuba. These are all communist or socialist countries. Does this mean that Obama is in the process of developing a dictatorship so that he can imprison all opposition? We'd like to help you understand world events in the light of Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. 8736. Call now while operators are standing by.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We're talking to Hunter Lewis. He's the author of Crony Capitalism in America. I have to tell you, sir, that I've been telling people since day one that free enterprise is the fuel for freedom. And if there's ever going to be a takeover of this nation, it's not going to be with, you know, martial law in the streets and all that sort of stuff. What's going to come first is the destruction for the average American to engage in free enterprise. And when we look at things like the FDA, the USDA, the EPA, It's becoming very prevalent that war against free enterprise is here, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely right. You know, people also misunderstand when they talk about free markets. A lot of people think that just means that you can do anything you want in those markets, and it's exactly the opposite. Free markets are a place where profits incent you, but also bankruptcy warns you that you have to really toe the line and help other people and not just think about yourself. That's the whole idea of free enterprise, to, you know, really work on behalf of other people, and then it'll come back to you. And that message is really missed. That's why I prefer to talk about the free price system rather than the free market system, because most people, I think, understand that when government interferes with, manipulates, and controls prices, it's not a good idea.
So how do we fix this? I mean, when we look at the companies that are in bed with both sides of the political aisle, whether it's Merck or Pfizer or Monsanto, whatever it is, we're obviously up against some massive giants. How do we fix it? How do we right the ship?
Well, as Adam Smith explained, when America was just being formed, the more government moves into control of the economy, the more private interests will respond to that by trying to control government. It's just natural that the more government's calling shots, the more these private interests will send money to Washington and try to control government. So the only way to stop that is to move government back to its proper role. Government should be an umpire within the economy. It should be setting out laws that apply to everybody and regulations that makes sense. You know, so often there's a great debate about, you know, one side saying we need more government control and regulation of the economy, and the other side saying we need less government regulation and control. But the truth is we need government laws and regulation that make sense. And that means government laws and regulation that does not interfere with the price system, that doesn't destroy the free enterprise system.
And part of it, I believe, is on us, too, because as we've moved away from an entrepreneur-based economy to an employment-based economy, it opened up territory for regulators to say, okay, well, then we're going to close off the loophole here, so the next time somebody tries this industry, it's going to be closed down. So don't we really have to get back to teaching entrepreneurship?
Yes, absolutely, because Washington, you know, really wants those campaign contributions. But they want votes even more. I mean, they are really terrified of the voters. And if the voters will understand, come to understand what's happening here, because the voters, I think, by and large, are very confused. But if people increasingly understand what's happening and then make their voice heard in Washington, it can really create enormous change. The voters have so much power, if they'll just use it.
So how do we... Because, you know, this is kind of apropos, because whenever I go and speak, I bring with me a textbook from 1931. And in that seventh grade textbook, seventh grade, they're 12 years old, they're teaching students how to hire employees, how to set up distribution, how to, you know, get insurance for a store. The entire premise of mathematics in seventh grade was based on the platform of you are going to own a business. But if we fast forward to today... That same textbook is 20 pounds. It's thousands of repetition problems. And if any student came home and said, Mom, I want to be like Steve Jobs and drop out of school and start a business, parents would be ripping their hair out. So there has to be a shift in the mindset, too. How do we accomplish that?
Well, I mean, I think all we can do is just offer people the truth and hope that enough will sign up for it, and particularly young people, because young people were the swing element in the last election. They're going to be the swing element in the next election. And young people at the moment are just really unaware of what's happening. I mean, you know, think of young people are paying the price right now. They've got the unemployment facing them. They come out of school with no jobs. They're saddled with student loans that shouldn't be there. What's happened is the government has provided the subsidy of student loans, but all that money has flowed into the schools and just caused the tuition and fees to rise. So the loans haven't helped the students. They just raised the price of the education. The government is changing the overtime rules in a way that makes it harder to hire kids. And Obamacare is saddling them with, you know, much more health care costs. If young people just understood any of that, that would make a tremendous difference.
Well, you know, we were talking about some industries, and one of them that I think is just destroying the future of the young generation is this educational industry, because you have the government that's willing to back loans. Why on earth would we ever expect tuition to drop? I mean, if I could sell cars and the government said, well, we'll pay up to $40,000 per car, I'm now selling a Pinto for $42.50. I mean, that's just common sense. That's what I'm going to do. So aren't we really creating the problem from the onset there?
Yes, we are. And of course, and there's also a lot of dishonesty about the whole process. I mean, for example, the president has said to the young people during the campaign and so on, I reduce the interest rate on your student loans. What he doesn't reveal is that the government can borrow money at virtually no interest rate at all. And then it relends it to the students at a much higher interest rate. And it makes a profit on that. And then where does that profit go? It goes into the budget under a line called deficit reduction. So here are these poor young people who are inheriting all these deficits and all this money to be paid back, and yet they're supposed to contribute to deficit reduction right now. The president, of course, doesn't talk about that.
Well, and I think you just said something that was truly brilliant, and that's the fact that politicians, in a sense, make a profit off of the lending. A lot of people think, well, it's the government, so it's benevolent. But as any government employee would tell you, they want to grow too. They want to get promotions. They want to get new toys in whatever industry they're in. And that money has to come from someplace. And government does create a profit, even though it doesn't call it a profit, right?
Yes, and in other cases, for example, with drugs, the FDA is more and more funded by the drug industry now, so that the people sitting in the Food and Drug Administration know that their salary, their bonuses, their raises all depend on this inflow from the drug industry, and actually they do not want to do anything to disturb the drug industry.
Well, you know, when you bring up the drug industry, that's a really interesting one, too, because the drug industry itself sets the price for getting a drug approved by that board, which happens to be made up by all these former drug executives. And there's a guy in Texas who developed a cure for cancer in the 70s. His name is Dr. Brzezinski. There's been a documentary film on him. And he literally, he can cure cancer. But he can't get it past that elusive FDA board, which happens to be made by the same people who are making the drugs that treat cancer now. And that's a perfect example of how capitalism isn't really applicable to this good doctor in Texas.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, I know that case. And just, you know, any drug, the average cost of getting a drug through the FDA right now is $1 billion. So, of course, nothing that hasn't been patented can be taken through, because who can afford to spend $1 billion on something that's not patented? So all these natural remedies are just unavailable to the medical system because the FDA won't approve them.
So I ask all authors this, and I'm going to ask it of you too. What do you hope people get from this book? I mean, it's one thing to write it to get the information out, but what do you hope people get from the book?
I just hope they get awareness, because, again, I'm have faith, particularly young people. I have faith that if enough people become aware of what's really going on, if they get past being confused and have a clear idea of what the problem is, then we can really solve it. We can at least make a lot of progress.
And give us one example of Monsanto, because I've been kind of going after them lately, and it's one thing that I think is another company that's in bed with the government. How dangerous is Monsanto?
Extremely dangerous. I mean, and they're one of the best cases of the revolving door. Now, they had an employee who went from Monsanto to the FDA, then back to Monsanto, then to the USDA, then to Monsanto,
well, Hunter
then the
Lewis,
FDA.
No. You are absolutely right. I was hoping you'd say that because I've been saying it forever. Hunter Lewis, the book, Crony Capitalism America, the website againstcronycapitalism.org.
Independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you helped eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
All right, let's go to Ted in North Dakota. Ted, welcome to the show. What say you, sir?
Hello. I wanted to talk about the instigation in terms of Obama's decision to go into Syria. You know, they're trying to say that it is more justifiable in a moral sense to go there because of this sudden appearance of chemical weapons. And that's a straw man argument. In North America, they're trying to grab guns right now. Well, it's assault weapons. They're somehow worse than a deer rifle. Well, after all the assault weapons are gone, we're only left with a deer rifle. Now, those are looking kind of menacing. And so to get rid of the deer rifles, then the gun looks kind of menacing. Then they take the handgun. Then they take all the handguns, and, you know, then the bow and arrow starts to look a little too menacing. They take all the bows and arrows, and we're left with knives. And then the knives start looking menacing. And it's a slippery slope and a straw man argument to say that there's this red line because it's a chemical weapon.
So are you suggesting what they're saying is chemical weapons in Syria is just a starting point, and then next it's going to be, large ordinances, and then, okay, so that's a little dangerous, and they're going to do a continual scale down there as well?
Well, if you look at, you know, the arms industry as a whole, I mean, these people want to be the ones that have the guns. And believe me, they're not getting rid of their stockpiles of nuclear weapons. They're not getting rid of their stockpiles of biologicals. They're not getting rid of their stockpiles of chemical weapons. They're getting rid of the people they don't like, their weapons of defense. You know, just like they came for the machine guns in America, whether you're talking to Thompson or the Browning automatic rifle or... You know, people had the right and the legitimate right to own those weapons here in America, and the government took that right away because of a few bad people. Those bad people were actually trying to make a living for themselves by robbing banks. I know that's kind of crazy to say that you can make a living doing that, but for some reason these people thought they could, and of course they took the most powerful weapon that were available with them to do that kind of thing. And so because of a couple of bad apples, the rest of us have to have our rights whittled away. The point that I'm trying to make is to say that saying that the red line in Syria is this arbitrary red line in terms of it's because of chemical weapons or it's because of biological weapons or it's because of a nuclear weapon is a red herring. When civilians are being attacked, unarmed civilians, they're not a legitimate military target, and they're being attacked. to say that because 1,000 people died or 1,500 people died in a five-minute span because of a weapon, and that it's okay that the same 1,500 people die over a three-day period because they've been pulled out of their apartments and their homes and executed, is, you know, a straw man argument. I completely agree with you there. You know, it's morally reprehensible to identify a non-military target, and irrespective of what you do, if you take them out and you hit them over the head with batons until they're dead, it doesn't matter, they're dead. So if you kill them, you know, like I said, over a three-day period with a baton, or, you know, take them out and execute them with a bullet, or gas them in 10 minutes, it doesn't matter, they're still dead.
And so, Ted, let me run something by you.
Yeah.
Let me run something by you. I want to get your take on it. They acknowledge, and everybody kind of agrees, I mean, all sides of this agree, that the Syrian war has now claimed over 100,000 lives. And it was done through traditional yet brutal means without the use of chemical weapons. And a lot of people started saying, well, wait a second, why now, as you referenced, why now just because of what they used? Why is it now deplorable? Why do we now have to act? Why didn't we act if we were going to? Why didn't we act when 10,000 died or 20,000 died? With that said, it appears to me that they were trying to use the chemical weapon, as you said, as a line, as a herring, as an instigator. But for what purpose? Why do you believe that Obama and the people of that mindset want to get involved in Syria so badly?
I think that that the government as a whole has painted itself into a corner over the last decade since 9/11, where they have to have this morally justifiable reason to go to war when there's not a national interest in terms of it's American lives at stake or it's American commerce at stake. I'm an anarchist. I used to be an anarchist and, you know, libertarian and those kinds of things, and I'm at the point where I'm damn near an anarchist at this point. And it's because of the fact that I really don't believe that there's anything legitimate to government, that it really is just an instrument of you know, monopoly of violence. And consequently, they've had this idea over the last 10 years that they need these moral justifications for war. And the problem with that is there's no moral justification for a non-defensive act of aggression. If someone's attacking your family, you have a right to come to your family's defense. If someone's attacking you personally, you have a right to defend yourself. However, there's no moral justification for an aggressive act that's not defensive. And they have to have this, you know, these greater and greater moral justifications for these wars when most people in today's society say this is just not legitimate. You know, our war machine's been captured by a handful of special interests to begin with.
I am very encouraged by the overwhelming, I mean, it is just so overwhelming, the voice of the American public that says, you know what, we're not for this conflict. That is extremely encouraging to me, because we used to buy it hook, line, and sinker. Whenever the U.S. military wanted to go into something, we would hear trumpets and see the eagle fly and say, yes, it's American might, let's do it, and we're just and true. But now the American public is saying, no, this is seven flavors of nuts, we better not do it. Which leads us again to this thing, since we know it's not the moral cause that they were hoping for. They tried to spin it and they didn't. Why do you think we want in there in the first place? And we being, you know, obviously not you and I, but the United States complex itself. Why do you think Obama and his ilk are trying so hard, though? I mean, that's the part that's really confusing me at this point. Is it just that he was painted into the corner? He thought he was going to lead this international, you know, force to free a bunch of people. The international force deserted him, and now he's sitting there in the Mediterranean with his pants down? Is that what it is? I mean, does he need to save face at this point? Because this continual push and today's address saying, you know what, we don't even really need congressional approval, there's obviously something behind this.
The geopolitical atmosphere right now with Saudi Arabia saying, you know, if it's the kind of war that they had in Kosovo, if it's the kind of war that Bill Clinton had with his Operation Desert Fox when the Monica Lewinsky trap scandal was going on and he bombed Saddam Hussein, the Saudis are saying, we'll pay for that. We don't have any problem with paying for that kind of war. We want Assad, you know, marginalized. We want him, you know, hopefully taken out of the picture altogether. And it's a regional payoff for, you know, Saudi interests. I think that the Saudi interest is not about oil. They've got plenty of their own oil. They don't mind stealing, you know, Iraq's oil. They don't want to steal Iran's oil if they can. And so it's really, I think, their desire to see the caliphate reinstitutionalized under a Saudi authority, under a Sunni authority. And it really is about Sunnism, and it really is about Shiaism. The Baathists, for the last century, have been working towards a secular Middle East, and they've worked very hard for it. They've even gone so far as to assassinate people like Mossadegh and others that are Baathists that are looking for secularism, and we're instituting puppets wherever we can. And if we can't have a puppet, a strong man, then we're going to do things like put into place power structures like Muslim Brotherhood. And I think we're aiding the Saudis. I think that we're at their beck and call. And I think Obama has political payback that he has to engage in.
I think he is
bowing down to that Bandar.
That right there, Ted, that right there, I think, is hitting close to home. Because when you look at the relationship between Barack Obama and who benefits from this conflict, you start to realize, wait a second, it's not even the greedy, oil-laden politicians in D.C. now. I mean, this vote is not going to go Obama's way, but yet he continues to force through it anyway. It's almost as if he's working for somebody else. And I guess we'll leave it there until Monday. All right, my friends, that does it for today. Today, tomorrow, and as always, may your path lead to heaven and may freedom follow in your footsteps. Sometimes you gotta start low. Some people think they're gonna die someday. I got news you never got to go.
My name is Kay Swirling, and I am in the early part of my 10th decade. I want to discuss the issue of pharmaceuticals versus minerals and vitamin supplements. I remember a discussion between my mother and me. It was at that time that canned vegetables and fruits were introduced into the U.S. market. It was some time before my mother and others felt comfortable with food in cans. That was also the time when drugstores offered for sale cough syrup and aspirins and not much else. Let's fast forward to this decade, the here and now. Simple drugstores are large corporations with the message that they are the ones who have the power to cure human ills. Meanwhile, the battle continues, with minerals and vitamins being the answer to human ills. Who will win the battle? I believe and hope it will be the belief in the power of vitamins and minerals over that of the toxic chemicals in prescription drugs. What do you think?
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.